Right, hello and welcome to the sixth Manx Footy Pod of the 2018-19 season. Today, myself and Dave.
Hi, everyone.
Are joined by Ramsey goalkeeper Andy Perry and skipper Nick White. Right, lads, welcome along. Before we go any further, we should probably explain where we are, should we, Dave? We're out on tour again.
I know. Last year it was Ramsey, wasn't it?
Yeah, we haven't gone quite as far this year. Like, we're at the Lewis Qualtro suite at the Bowl, aren't we?
It's wonderful surroundings.
So just a quick thank you to Lewis for letting us have his office for about an hour. Lads, welcome in. Thanks for making the trip over the mountain, as it were.
Thanks for the invite.
We thought we'd better get you in because obviously Division 2 is shaping up nicely at the moment, isn't it, Dave? It's my favourite league, personally.
It is, and I think it's Hattie's favourite league as well. Yeah. He loves it.
It's a league that, like the Premier League in many ways, it could go to one of six, seven, maybe even eight teams this year. We'll talk about that in a minute, but there was a bit of news made on Tuesday, wasn't it, Dave?
Yes, we've had a great result for the Alaman FA team. They beat Wolves under 23s 2-0. Thanks to goals from Sean Doyle and Lee Gale. A massive result, and you worked it out. It was the first time we've beaten a professional side since 2000, was it?
Yeah, I think so. 18 years since Burnley were sent home with their tails between their legs after a 1-0 defeat at the Steam Packet. Of course, Burnley, now a Premier League powerhouse. Put that in inverted commas. But they were in the second tier at that point and lost. I think Stan Tennant was the manager. Some football fans. But yeah, so that was 1-0. I don't think so. I think we played a couple of semi-pro teams. Obviously, the Welsh lads came over and some of them were all semi-pro, but I don't think we've actually done the business over a pro team since then. So an impressive result nonetheless. Now, Andy, obviously, you know a lot of the squad from your time with the Ellen Vannin. It is a great result, isn't it?
Fantastic. I mean, I actually caught up with Frank Jones yesterday for the first time for a few months, been promising to do it anyway. He had a good chat with him about it, and he said it was pretty much a game of two halves. They did a real good start. They did a good start and scored early.
Yeah.
And after that, this sort of Wolves came really into it. And they said they changed a few things around at half time. And then he said second half, they could have run away with it, really. So it was a really good result. He said, you know, he said they had about three or four there under 23s. And there was a few of the under 19s in it to give guys a game type thing. But yeah, any time to go away. That, and I mean, the facilities, you guys see the pictures.
Yeah,
it looked absolutely fantastic.
AFC Telford, obviously, yeah. Conference North team. You mentioned Wolves, I think we should give them a bit of background. They're second in EPL 2, Division 2 at the moment. They're playing the league leaders, Manchester United, on Friday at Molineux. Yeah. So they were probably looking for a bit of match sharpness ahead of that. I think there's a few of the lads are age group internationals, so it does keep adding to the impressiveness of the win. But yeah, pro side, you can't unover it. The thing that Paul Jonesy said in today's Independent is that this is what the games they want to play and use it to kick on again.
Build on it.
Yeah, well, obviously that's not what we've got you guys in to talk about, really. It's Division 2. As you say, I profess my love for it every week, but it's a cut and thrust of the second tier. Nick, I suppose we should start talking about Saturday's remarkable 3-0 draw with Paul Rose, not too far from here at Springfield Road. 3-0 down at half-time. You battle back to 3-3. You know, that must set you up really well for the rest of the campaign.
Well, yeah, just young team. It sort of shows in previous years, I reckon. Even if it was first division, you'd play that game and just end up getting sevens, like eight, absolute drumming. So like we'd just roll over. But that was good. The second half was completely different. Just stuck to our stuff, and I think a draw was a fair result. To be fair, I think if either team would have gone away, the other team would have been disappointed with nothing. So. Yeah.
Did you take even more confidence from the fact it was against the team most people think will be getting the title at the end of the season?
Well, yeah, especially away to their place. It's like, I think the same as Dougie Athletic, they're not easy to go there and win. Like, a lot of teams have struggled, sort of thing, getting goals past them. And you like to say at our place, it suits us a lot more, more space and stuff like that. And to be able to come back, it shows we can still, get the goals back quite quickly. And especially coming into that second half where fitness comes into it, it'll be, first half isn't going to go well for you. Yeah. It shows perfectly, so.
I think the result as a whole shows how competitive the league is, really.
Yeah, definitely.
And I suppose it's really tight, isn't it? I think you say it every week in your preview, Dave. You know, it's hard to sort of predict what's going to go where, but if I had to sort of make you put your quid down, who would you say you're going to go up this season, Nick? Is there anyone that really impressed you?
Well, I haven't seen enough of them. Every team you see here from the likes of St. Malou, they seem to have a good setup, things like that. UC will grind out wins or points at least. They're fit, they're strong, they're physical. They're the same. If they're down at half time, they will grind something out. And then, like you say, you've got four or five teams, but Ramsey will definitely be there. That's without a doubt. you know, Paul Rowe's definitely there. So it is a lottery. Second half of the season,
yeah,
it depends who you mess up against, really. I don't think if you win every game in the first half of the season, I don't think that guarantees you anything at all. So, yeah, we like to... You always got your back yourself, though, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Andy, well, I was just touch on that. Like, we've said it with the Premier League. Now, a defeat isn't a disaster this season, is it? You know, in previous years, it could have taken you out of the running, but now you could lose three or four conceivably and still win the title.
We've lost to Drum on the games. We lost to Foxdale again. We were 4-1 down at one point in that game, and we came back. And again, we could have got a point out of it. We give some bad goals away, and then we played UTE on the Wednesday night. It's a very similar game. We give a couple of bad goals away, and then we just couldn't take our chances. And yeah, we lost two, and it did knock the confidence a little bit, but gradually we got it back. And you know, we haven't played Maloo, we haven't played Onken, so obviously other top teams sort of in the league. But yeah, it's going to be very tight. It'll be nip and tuck. You've just got, I think, for any teams, but from our point of view, I think we've just got to stay in touch. I mean, if you win with about 3 or 4 points now, if you win your games in hand, etc. So it's going to be very, very tight. And again, in them big games, it's just about you've got to win or take your points in them big games, because it'll be the second half of the season, it'll be crucial. So you don't see anybody tailing off either. They all seem to be sort of, you know, seem to be sort of quite consistent as well. So yeah, it's good. I mean, again, First Division is exactly the same. Yeah. I was, you know, talking to the boys on Monday night, you know, people complained for a long time that Justin George has dominated it. And, you know, possibly this year you could end up with, you know, four teams playing for the league. You could end up with possibly four different teams winning trophies, possibly in the First Division. And surely, I mean, I speak for everybody. I mean, Manx football, it's good, isn't it? You know, it's good competitive.
It's great.
It's you know, it's competition. Mm. You know, teams are dropping points here, there, and everywhere, and it's good, isn't it? You know, it's a good thing that both leagues are exactly the same as well, very competitive, which is what everyone wants, really, isn't it? So
it's fantastic.
By a quirk of the fixtures, both of the leaders are actually have got the weekend off this week. Yeah. So Youthy are four or five points clear, are they? They've got the weekend off, and so it gives all the other teams that chance, a bit of impetus to go on and close the gap.
They'll be down cheering for Onken.
They'll be sat on that wall.
So Nate, has it been surprised at how well they've done? Because I'm guessing they're surprised. Obviously, they had a late managerial change. The legend that is Raymond Leach has taken over from Harry pretty much the day before the season started. And now they're unbeaten at the top and got a bit of a cushion.
Yeah, I think like when you start at the start of season, they look set up well. And then obviously everything that changed doesn't help anyone sort of thing. But like I say, you sort of only watch the game against Dust Boys and you know what you're going to get with them. They are, like I say, physical, they're fit, and they won't give you a single like second to dwell on that sort of thing. And it, especially against a young team like us, the physicality does get to you a bit. Like, that's why we struggled so much over years.
Yeah, our battlers that night. To be fair play to them. You know, that's what won the game. Is they literally just the outfought us, really. Mm. Possibly even wanted it more, but you know.
You see, like the other results as well. That they've gotten away and they've beat goals down, but then they'll always pull it back. So they'll just keep going and going and going. So I think it's one of those. It's you earn. For your awards from the hard work sort of thing. I think there's a lot of teams, not just Youthy, that are doing that. So, yes, that's what you're never guaranteed anything. How quickly you can turn around with it. So,
and of course, we've seen how Colby have struggled on their return to second tier. Yeah. I suppose in a way, you're quite glad that you've avoided the relegation hangover that seems to have dogged them. Yeah.
Yeah, like we've only gained players this year, which is massive, especially how young the team is. You could have gone so wrong, and then obviously gaining Andy Cleeter and Curley, you know, for the seniority in that their team now, that's it, and you can learn so much, and it just adds that core down the middle as well. That's made a huge difference to us, to just strengthen things, not go backwards. Like I say, there's a lot of Colby boys left and stuff like that, and it just doesn't help anyone really.
No.
Has Andy added the winning mentality? So obviously he's been so used to success at
Golden Glove winner as well, Dave.
There you go, you see.
Yeah. He's definitely added a standard, that's for sure. I think all three of the senior boys have come in, have added something in their own mind, like they all bring the same, but Andy's definitely like the standards in, like it from just even the change rooms from the clubhouse, you know, then to train and then to the games, that keep that bar nice and high and just sort of don't let it slip to other people and stuff like that. It's perfect. It's I didn't play at the start of the season, and you speak to my mates who are playing in the back four, and they just said it's the easiest thing in the world having behind you. Like they've gone from, we've struggled for keepers for years, and you know, even when you had Tom off a few years ago, you're still only a kid. It was a difference, isn't it? And so someone who's done everything, it's won everything, it helps, doesn't it? Massively helps. So
So I suppose we should talk about the move, Van. What sort of triggered it? You know, was it, obviously I saw you play, thinking you played in the Charity Shield, or was it you
no,
played?
No, play
you
played in the Shield.
You played one of the friendlies.
We played the Welsh team.
And then obviously you obviously it is your hometown club, yeah. So it's not a massive surprise. But why now? Why have you?
It was difficult, really. I mean, did 5 years, you know, and you know, you guys, everyone's aware, you know, to be Geordie, you've got to be committed, and it's, you know, it's 3 times a week over the mountain, come rain, hail, shine, whatever it is. And yeah, it's a hell of a big commitment. You know, you've got 2 young kids at home. The missus is always never been very happy when they're playing up and you walk out the door and just leave her to it. But you're doing that 3 times a week. So the commitment, and it, you know, I'm 36. Not that I want an easy life. I just wanted to come back. I've been thinking about it for a little while. I just wasn't, you know, you go up there, you're doing something, you're traveling up, you're driving up and down your own. I just wasn't enjoying it. I wasn't having that buzz. I wasn't looking forward to it. You know, like I've always looked forward to training, and you know, frustrate me when I can't train, or but I just wasn't looking forward to it. And you almost like fall out of love with it, and you think you stood there, and you think, you know. So I went down and watched Stramsey play in the Town Cup on that was after that real game actually, and I thought, you know, I looked at the team, I thought, yeah, they look pretty good. I thought, you know, if I hopefully bring a bit of experience, a bit of talking, a bit of organisation at the back, it would really bring them on. So yeah, I'd like to think I bring something, you know. I've struggled myself with injuries, so I haven't been training as much, which is disappointing. I've touched wood, I haven't really struggled ever really in my career. Bit of a hip injury, and I'm struggling to clear it up really, so I've talked to obviously a bit of physio and stuff, look into it. But yeah, it's been good. I've been pleasantly surprised, you know, like the lads, people say, oh, young people, bad attitudes and stuff. Yeah, I mean, Nick will tell you, nobody, there's a couple of lads in our team, you just constantly chip at the referee, or you know, and you try and have a word of them. But to be fair, they do listen, and they are prepared to listen as well, which helps as well. So yeah, we've got a good little nuclear there now, and hopefully we can just keep ticking along, and hopefully we'll be in the mix come the end of the season. So,
well, I think you mentioned it, Nick, though, they obviously invested a little bit in the club because they could have jumped ship, couldn't they? Like we've seen at Corby with the relegation, and obviously I'm not going to, you know, not disrespect, but the Northern clubs are liable to the old merry-go-round in the summer, but they didn't, and they're obviously, there's a reason they want to play for Ramsey, isn't there?
Yeah, like there's a couple of lads that sort of had moved a few years ago from like Youth, for instance, and they sort of coming in. You've got two teams, and they're all like within the same age, from 16 to my age, 22, and everyone's in that age, and it's just everyone wants to be doing the same things. They're all their mates, and it's like, you go out on the social, there's nothing that tempts them to go leave anywhere. You know, you train twice a week, and we're getting, you know, 20, 25 people twice a week, and the trains are good, so it's, you're with the mates, and then right now, they just need to be playing football, and, you know, then going having a beer afterwards kind of thing, and enjoying it. So I think you speak to a lot of them who had, I think there was a few as well that had left, they'd gone to try and find greener grass kind of thing, and they came back, the next year, and just went, why did I bother? And then just that passes on to others, and like they're all a bit like, well, yeah, should we bother? And if one won't go by themselves, kind of thing as well. So keep them down, it's all right.
Well, you've got a great facility there, obviously, with the stand and stuff. Do you think that helps as well? That's a lure for some of the players.
Yeah, it is good to be playing in the heart of Rams as well. You know, it is nice. I've come from air, and you're out in the sticks and stuff, and then to be able to play right in the middle, and you get people down watching and stuff like that, walking down the stands. It's a good pitch. Big pitch as well and stuff like that, so it's, and obviously, yeah, it's always a nice walk into town afterwards, after a good win.
To fetch the ball from the lake.
Yeah, I sent Andy's dad to go get him.
Talking of the facility, you've got a tweet from Steve Parkinson, obviously was the marquee up at St George's. He asked if you were doing any of the work on the pitch up at
Do you know what, I've obviously not to get involved, but I've seen a couple of retired guys do it now, but I've actually done it a couple of times, just cut it for them. Because
you are award winning, groundsman.
I know, back in the day, back in the day when I had no kids and all that sort of thing, so can't justify the time to do it now. But yeah, I help them out if they need be. I've done it a couple of times. I actually got to do it this week because someone's away or something. So yeah, I don't mind helping out and doing it. But yeah, the pitch is great, and like Nick will tell you, it's, you know, it is a big draw, and obviously the stadium and stuff, it is, you know, obviously I'm a bit biased, but it's definitely the best place to play. Yeah, but it's great, and it's good.
Right, before we get onto the Twitter questions, we've got absolutely loads for you, Pat. we should mention that Simon from the FA left us some biscuits. See that, Dave?
Very generous, Simon.
I've had one already. Lads, you want to help yourself to Vitti's Bourbon Cream. They're the chocolate variety, I believe.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, yeah, look at these two pro athletes. None of them yeah. Touch them. Yeah. It's just a bit out of your reach there, Dave. That's why you haven't had one.
I don't eat it with this belly.
We should also thank the mystery donor, where we have our suspicions, don't we, that we left the... Co-op dark chocolate and blood orange biscuits. No, just your flipping milk malt that keeps Gary keeps mentioning in a reception for us today. We think it might be someone that manages gyms and also manages a co-op store in Castan, but we couldn't possibly comment, could we? We're waiting to get that confirmed, not me, as Tony Meppen would say. So, right, the Twitter questions, and the first question is from that man himself, Tony Sewell. Dave.
Yeah, he asks, do you both think it's nuts that most players won't travel all the way, in brackets 30 minutes over the mountain, to or from Ramsey to play for a club, especially as Ramsey have got one of the best pitches on the island?
Yeah.
But then it's what Andy said, what a pain it was coming the other way, isn't it? So I suppose. Yeah.
Do you know what? It's a very Isle of Man thing. You know, like we think, like, you know, you think it's the end of the world. You have to drive to Port Erin to play. You know, it's just an Isle of Man thing, isn't it? And obviously, I did it for five years. Yeah. You know, traveling over the mountain and stuff. Yeah, you know, nice summer's night. It's lovely. Mm. You don't think it's a drag and stuff like that. But yeah, and it is hard to get people to come out. I mean, I've asked obviously loads of times when I was down there years ago trying to, you know people. But yeah, it's like Ramsey's the end of the world.
Maybe when the piers restored, they'll get back. You know, yeah. More of an attraction. There's a lovely hotel there, I believe, now as well. Yeah, so, the next question is from former St George's teammate Tony. He says, it's Frank Jones. He says, can you ask Andy how many bitters he drinks on a Saturday?
Never drink more than eight. Never drink more than a gallon.
Flipping it.
That's the end. That's the go off the edge.
I'd be on my backside with eight. Is that the Oracle's?
Solid eight
Oracles
there.
I don't know if I told you this, Dave, but when we went on honeymoon a couple of weeks ago, I went to California. Craft Ale's massive there, the IPAs.
Yeah. Lovely.
Lovely stuff, yeah. 7.5%. After two, I was struggling. The missus had to take me home. For us Oracles drinkers, it does sort of catch you.
Steady 3.8%.
Yeah. Frank also asks, what was your best moment at St George's?
Oh, wow.
Good question.
First Grand Slam, I'd say, because obviously, yeah. You know, achievement-wise, I think obviously you can't top that on the island, I don't think, anyway. Personal moment, probably penalty shootout appeal in the semi-final of the, I think it was the Hospital Cup, and that was the second Grand Slam, say, two penalties in the shootout.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was good. It was good, probably, personal moment. But, yeah, I had some good times. It was, it was great, to be honest. Very much... sort of by the back end of my career, and like missus always, what do you do when you're 25?
Keepers only immature later, don't they? That's what they keep telling us. Yeah, you're into your peak, so you're probably only peaking now, 36.
Yeah, the way my body feels sometimes, I think.
Duna always tells me that anyway.
Man'll never stop.
Yeah.
So we've got two of the Northern favourites in the podcast today. Another one of the Northern favourites, Agent Rashid. Good question for you, Andy.
Full title, please.
I'll see him later.
So Andrew Roy, how does it feel to become a homecoming hero?
Jesus. I don't know really. That's a bit of a don't take the hero thing at all. But yeah, it's been good and reception's been great going back. All the lads have been really welcome. It's been good and you know it is hard because a lot of the lads. I mean, I can't believe Nick's 22. I was horrified by that. But some of the lads, you know, you look around the change room. I think it's like myself and Collie, Robert Colster, who's is actually older than me. So I'm not the oldest in the team. So just have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, look around, someone likes Dinnell Pickles and all, he was old enough to be their father, so it's a bit disconcerting.
That's how rumours start. That.
Yeah.
Collie, though, has probably played more games for Ramsey. Oh, he must be up there for it.
Absolutely, cracking lads,
Speaking of fathers, Agent Rashid also had a question saying, was your dad chuffed about your return?
It was quite funny, really, because I just sort of, he was on holiday for a change, he's always on holiday. He heard secondhand, and it was only a week before season starts, and he rang me up. Yeah, he was made up, and I've got to be honest, when I left and went to Laxey, he didn't speak to me for a week. And I'm not joking, he literally didn't speak to me, so Yeah, it was. When I was Jordy, he started to come round a bit, but yeah, once he come back, he was made up and delighted to. Yeah,
I might be misquoting Dan Harry Wade here, but I'm pretty sure Dan Wade had the same reception when he left Lexi for St George's. Yeah, Harry wouldn't speak to him. Yeah. Obviously, it's a bit, you know, it's a regular thing. He's now his question, Agent Rashid Nicholas. He says Ben Ashworth has been known to go missing from time to time. What are your thoughts on his return to Air United?
Oh well. Poor Air United, really, isn't it? waste of time with him, yeah.
I think Ben actually won Agent Rashid.
He stole it off me. I wasn't impressed. Not gonna lie, that had my name on it, but he came in last minute and took it away from me. So
he also, I think this is a pretty good question as well. He says, "Who is the best Manx cricketer playing Manx football?"
I think there's a few out there. I just hope I'm not. You got the likes of Killy be up there. Oh, mm-hmm. Young George Burrows.
Don't give it to him. Yeah, you give him too big a head.
Yeah, that is also true. But I'm trying to think of, I can't really think of many others. So one of them two would have to be up there, news, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah, I think you're doing yourself a disservice there. We'll put you in that bracket as well.
Next question in is from Mark Blair. Andy, do you wish you were given a fairer crack with the Alaman FA side?
Yeah, I was understudy to Blair for.
It's his fault, isn't it?
Yeah, he's asking the question. He kept me out of the team. To be honest, it was difficult. I was sort of in and out, and then I basically got a job on the fire for the retained firefighter. So we drill the Wednesday nights. You only allowed so many off. So I've had literally Kevin asked me back in. Steve Burns, I have been asked to go back in, but I can't give the commitment and chain on a Wednesday night. So it was not from the want of being asked to go and join the squad. It was just literally I can't give the commitment. So it's I've put a handful of caps, enjoyed it, played in the got about 10 minutes when Blair got sent off in the final in Guernsey in 03. So I've played in a Ireland Games final, so silver medalist in that as well. So but yeah, it's good. Yeah, I probably didn't get enough where I did, but. That's the way it is, isn't it?
But on the flip side of that, you've obviously had quite a few trips to Alan Manning as well.
Yeah, it was unbelievable, really. Yeah, that was just one of them things, just right place, right time. I think I had a really good game for Laxey against Geordie's about 2 weeks before Batty named the squad, so I think that might help. So he rang me up and said, I'm totally out of the blue, and I can remember it now, and he said, would you be interested in a course? I mean, the first trip to Sweden was unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, just something out of nothing, and you think, and we got there, watched the first game, seen the facilities, it was unbelievable, you think. And we got there, and it was just like a little thing snowballed. Mm. You know, you can just get, when we were the first game, we were 2-0 down, we were getting absolutely battered. Mm. And we nicked the goal back, and it was just like momentum, and we scored really late on to make win 3-2. And it just rolled on, we played to the next game, we chopped a half, basically changed the basically 9 of the first 11. And played in the second game against the team that we lost to in the final. We beat them 4-2, and we were qualified, and it just rolled on. It was just momentum, it was fantastic. And, you know, we've been to Sweden, Cyprus, Hungary, been all over the show, and you think, you know, we've been down to France to play in like a midweek game and stuff. You know, we've had some great trips away, and obviously Malcolm, he's tried hard to. I mean, you can go, there's lots of issues and stuff like that, and it's a shame the FA haven't come together to do something, because, you know, I mean, we can talk about it forever and day, can't you? I mean, the football at that level has stagnated, hasn't it? I think even Jonesy, I was listening to Jonesy last week, and he said the same thing, you know. It does need something else because, you know, the guys are reaching a level now, and
it's a big glass ceiling.
There is. Yeah, they do need to go on further. I mean, the biggest disappointment, obviously, for that we would call it the golden generation, like Sabati, Sean Quays, Johnny Myers, that generation, they didn't really get to possibly fulfil their potential, you know, at the Alaman level. So yeah, it is a bit of a shame. Yeah, but
it'll be interesting to see what happens in January. Obviously, the Knieffer AGM is what sort of Ellen Vannin's fate lies in. But obviously, I thought it's pertinent to bring up. Jersey played their first game in Knieffer in the parishes of Jersey or something.
I've seen that. Yeah, there's some great teams in it, and yeah, it's just a shame. It's unfortunate once you get to that level, it gets political, especially the way the teams are very political.
It's grown so much, though, hasn't it?
Decisions were made, and it. To be fair, it was. I mean, I did the guy that played, he was a very good player, and he's now playing the Nationwide Conference. He actually ruined my accumulator the other week, so he's had like a double blow. scored two. I think he's playing. I can't think he's playing for now, but he's in a conference. He scored two against Salford, so I ruined my accumulator. But yeah, it's. So he's upset us twice. But yeah, he was a very good player. He wasn't the original squad list.
Yeah.
they shouldn't. They didn't follow the rules. No. You know, we at the end of the day, we just did what we were doing, and it wasn't right. So it was a shame, really, but a shame way how it could end. Yeah. But it was. We'll have to wait and see.
Obviously, I think the AGMs in January, and was it Marrakesh or something like that?
It's somewhat exotic, I'm sure. It does sound exotic.
So we'll have to see what happens from there. But obviously, as you say, it's been a great experience.
Oh, fantastic! Yeah, you can't. I mean, Malcolm's. I mean, he's tried so hard. I mean, he's obviously put a lot of time and a lot of his own money into it, and you know, like the guys, Bassies and Dickos and Paul O'Brien's, they've all put invested lots of time, and it's been great experience.
Question for you, Nick, from the one, the only Paul Hatton, we've already mentioned him already. So he said, what was said at half time versus Paulie to change that game round? You know, was it a full hairdryer or was
no,
it
not at all. To be fair, Anthony is obviously the manager. He's quite quietly spoken guy, and he's quite a thing. But he actually showered at us. He was showering at us. He stood there thinking, "Oh, he wasn't happy." But fair play to him. It obviously had the desired effect. So.
I think we all knew. Well, we knew how bad we played in that first half. Like we really did, and it was three mistakes from our own team.
I mean, I give a pill away myself. It wasn't the best, losing the ball silly and stuff like that.
So I think we all knew what the goals came from were just our own fault. And then we've hit the crossbar twice. We've had a one-on-one missed. So it's those chances. We didn't take our chances.
We were not in the game. That's basically what we said at half time. You know, it could be 3-3 here.
We had to do our own thing. We had to, like, with the way we played, we weren't playing football. We were just humping it. Like, we were just getting rid, where position. We just won. It was backwards and forwards and, just settled down. We had the bit of wind behind that downhill at Pulley Hill always helps as well, and just that started it. The first 5 minutes you get the ball and then you're comfortable there where you play. So it was I think everyone knew that it was still possible, though. That was the difference, whereas in previous years you're only given up by that sort of 3-0 down sort of thing. So yeah.
What's Anthony's management style like? You say he's quite quietly spoken, but how is he?
He's good, yeah. He knows the boys better than anyone else, and the amount of effort and time he puts in is, if anyone has a bad word to say, if he, for instance, was someone fell out of the club, I can guarantee both squads would follow him. If he stepped out, they would step out. He's got the boys like that. He's got the boys, this group, together because he's brought it in for so long. So he's there twice a week with the training. He's there on a Saturday early, setting the boys up, and he knows the players better than anyone. Mm. So he just gives them the freedom to go. So it's brilliant. I think he's, out of anyone at Ramsey, he deserves more credit than anyone, really. So.
That's true, yeah. I mean, for a young lad, it was my first experience with him, and it's strange, like, you've always had managers that have been older than you and stuff like that, so it's quite different now.
Some following Bassey as well,
But, to be fair to him, everything's, like Nick says, everything's organised, absolutely, training's absolutely spot on, he's good, and he's prepared, and he's good, and it's been a nice, pleasant surprise, it's good, it's been really good.
A question now from a sort of quite semi-serious one to a definitely ridiculous one from Mark Slinger for you. And he says, have you ever recovered from the time you were stoned by the police in Tenerife and caught spooning Ryan?
That was my stag do, yes. That was the first night. That's the first night antics, yeah. Myself and Ryan Williamson were killed up on the couch together when the police burst through the door, just waving their truncheons around. I mean, sort of looked, tried the torch, and I was another good look at them, what's going on? Sorry, it's not us.
What a story.
We're very close,
Next question's in from Tim Collister. Another question for you, Andy. Do you actually shout keepers louder while playing than you would do normally?
Jesus.
I think that's actually a thing. Because I play a bit of goalkeeping in seven-a-side, and you do absolutely scream it, don't you? Yeah. And you wouldn't normally.
Definitely just shout it in the game.
I think you
do. Oh, the young keepers as well, you say to them, if you shout loud, you will put people off. If you shout out and you'll come for it, they'll think twice about going for it.
That was a good, interesting point, though. Do you think communication is a big thing in young keepers? Do they struggle to do it?
I don't know. It's that long now since I remember. I can't remember what I was like as a kid, talking-wise. But as far as I'm aware, I've always been quite a good talker. It does help massively. I mean, the biggest thing is, you're there, you can see everything, you can organise and take it from the back. Communication is huge, and it is. I mean, some of the guys coming up, people say we're struggling for goalkeepers and stuff like that, but, there's some good goalkeepers massive. Now,
We're talking about that. Matty Quirk obviously had a good game.
He's doing really well. Glenn Walker's good goalkeeper. Obviously, still got Sam. Sam's in that mix as well, so Yeah, it's,
look, there's younger keepers. That
Big Dean at Russian, yeah. You know, there's plenty out there. It's
young Henry around.
I didn't realise. Obviously, he remembers dad playing and stuff, but yeah, I didn't realise.
He's 16. He looks like he's got.
Well, his little brother plays in the same league as my son. He's very good goalkeeper as well. One of the best keepers there. So obviously, he's in. Obviously, the dad was very good goalkeeper. So.
Genetic.
Definitely.
So your lad play goalkeeper?
Or? No, I have to push him away from that. Don't do it to yourself. Stay outfield, you get all the glory.
Sticking another question for you, Andy, from Callum Morris. He says, have you ever assisted a goal? And this was accompanied with the winky face emoji. So,
possibly loaded.
Another typically loaded question from Callum.
Tell Callum, those times assisted. I think I've got more assists than some of the Ramsey boys this year. That's a joke, though.
And last question on Twitter from Joey Andrews. Another question for you, Andy. Sorry, Nick. Andy, what is your song of choice in the Stanley?
Jesus, you won't get me on karaoke. That's extremely drunk in a big group of people.
That's 12 pints of vocals.
Never more than 8. Once you go over that edge,
Nick, you got a karaoke song?
I'm not a karaoke person, to be honest. Let the show ponies do that. There's a couple of them out of it, so I'll let them crack on. I'll just watch and abuse.
Who's the best singer in the dressing room?
Jesus.
Oh.
Well, I say best.
Hepburn's partial to Sarah karaoke, isn't he? He's not scared to get up there, so we'll give it to him if anyone's going to get back anyone.
Was the agent's tip for a silver boot, if I remember correctly, in 4-5-1, Greg Hepburn?
It was, yeah. the wand of a left peg.
Less said about the better. Right, well, we've got you. We'll look ahead to Saturday's fixtures. Obviously, it's a big game, from big games in the Premier League and Division 2. We'll get on to Division 2 in a moment. Start off in the top flight. Kicking off, which is another big game in the Railway Cup race, Peel versus Old Boys, Dave.
This is the one you're going to, isn't it?
It is, yes.
And I think Peel looking good for Railway Cup at the moment. I think they're sitting third at the moment. They're doing quite well. So Old Boys, I spoke to Liam Buckley earlier this week, and they're going to be missing 6 first team players.
Wow.
So
not what you want to be travelling to Douglas Road with.
No. So I think if Old Boys don't pick up any points here, then they're probably going to miss out. The flip side of that, though, is because the Peel are 3 points ahead of Old Boys at the moment, but Old Boys have got a game in hand, so if Old Boys win, then it turns the tables quite a lot. So it'll be interesting to see how this one unfolds.
Well, obviously, given that inside information you've just imparted, I think we'll probably go with a home win. Andy, obviously, you've obviously faced these two teams in the last season. Old Boys surprising a few people this season.
Yeah, they are, but they're one of them teams. You look at their first or their best 11, you think they should be up there.
Yeah.
You know, whether I don't know what it is, whether it's consistency or lack of training or... They seem to do well in some games, and then you know they beat one of the top teams, and they go and lose to one of the bottom teams. It seems to be that consistency is the problem with Old Boys. But we've obviously talked to Falky on Saturday after they were playing alongside us on Saturday. So, yeah, that was obviously I think they battled a good scrap result out of there. So tough place to go.
Yeah, 2 goals from Lee. Obviously saw off another one of the surprise packages this season.
He got a hat trick actually.
Yeah, but two late goals, wasn't it? Against Douglas Athletic. I think they possibly will come on to their game. They're playing St Mary's here at the Bowl this week. Their bubble's burst a bit at the moment, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, they're in the middle of a tough run of fixtures now. They've obviously had a great start to the season, but they've St Mary's this week, and then they've got Geordies coming up soon. So, you know, it's going to be tough for them. But by all accounts, they gave Peel a really good run for their money last week.
I believe so, yeah, they did.
St Mary's, though... Obviously, they lost to Peel the other week, but that's their first defeat of the season. They've got to be in the title mix, haven't they, Anne?
Yeah, I was talking to Frank yesterday, and they should be. Yeah, I think, as I say, there's no reason they shouldn't be at all. You know, they got again. You look at their team; they've got a strong team, haven't they? Likes of Jack in that team.
A couple of former Ramsey players in there as well.
Declan,
yeah. Declan's boys in there, yeah. Declan's doing well.
Obviously, Declan was in the Ireland squad as well.
Yeah.
He travelled away.
Yeah, so I think I don't know if he got on, but he was definitely in the squad. So.
Mike Skilly as well. He was really good as well.
St Mary's, Nick, do you think they've got what to go the distance this season, or is it going to be
they've
tough because they've got a lot of new players?
They've definitely got the players there to be able to do it. But obviously, so many new players always doesn't help, does it? Well, obviously, well,
it takes a while.
It's the second half of the season, they come flying out. Like you said, Andy said, there's so many teams up there this year that it only takes a couple of points here and there, and suddenly you're at the top of it. So
Is it tough coming here, lads? Because obviously the bowl's a bit bigger than most pitches over here. And it the artificial surface.
It can take it out of you.
Especially if it's dry, it's very unnatural. It's sort of really sticky, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's wet, it's obviously fantastic surface, it's brilliant. But when it's dry, the ball tends to stick a bit and it's not the best surface. Obviously, it's big as well, so...
Well, if Dave reads the weather later, I'm sure he'll let us know how wet it is going to be on Saturday.
Wonderful.
the next game, Castletown take on Laxey. Now, Castletown fresh from absolutely smashing their goal scored target for this last couple of games and getting their first win of the week last week, Dave.
Yeah, as you mentioned in last week's podcast, they'd only scored 2 goals all season and then they put 6 past Douglas Royal, so it was a good day for them. Alex Crawley got a hat-trick, but star of the show for me, and I've said it in the paper this week, but Jack Amada, he was a class apart. Mm. Scored a worldie, got another goal as well.
I should mention his dad as well. Have you seen the video of his save that they've got? Absolutely corker from there.
Terry McGough had a free kick.
Fastest bus driver in Manx football.
it was a great free kick, to be fair. And it was flying in the bottom left corner, but somehow Paul managed to reach around and tip it wide.
So. How old's Paul?
68. Oh, Jess, Paul. He's peaking as well. I think it's fair to say. He's obviously. I'm guessing he's feeling a bit sore on Sunday though.
He's probably
throwing himself around like that. But obviously they play a Laxey side that lost to Moran last week.
5-1.
Which a bit of a shock. I think I said I thought Moran would probably put good value for a point out of that one. But obviously 5-1 is a massive dent in their confidence. Suddenly they're getting drawn back in towards the bottom there, aren't they?
Yeah, it's all very close now there. Douglas Royal are the only team without points, but you've got Laxey, you've got Moran and Castletown all deadlocked on 3 points each now, so it is a tight little battle there. I think with this one, Laxey, I think they're going to be short of players again. It's home advantage might play into Castletown's hands here, but Laxey will be desperate to bounce back after that.
Nick, obviously, you know a few of the Laxey lads. Are they targeting this one as a victory?
Yeah, they've got to, haven't they? You've got to beat that sort of thing where there's only one team going down there. You just got to beat the teams around you just to hold on. They're struggling this year, like without a keeper. You don't have a keeper, you're set to fail. Mm-hmm. We've had it, and it's you're just looking at someone else, like a mate, to go in goals, and then you're taking someone out of position. It's horrible, but they're very similar. They've got a very young team, and they have got some talent in there, definitely. Mm-hmm. Like you say, get through this year and then they can keep progressing kind of things. I feel if they went down, it could be a similar state to Colby where they could just disperse sort of thing.
Well, Sean Jackson made his debut for Laxey in that game last week against Moran. Dudley Butts' match report was anything to go off. He didn't have a bad game. He pulled off a really good save and he couldn't really do much about it.
Yeah, I didn't realise he was moved there. That's brilliant for them.
But Sean, he's doing well with Man City's amputee team and in the England team as well. So he's away quite a lot. So
yeah,
I think,
just to fill in now and then again.
But as I say, a great goalkeeper.
Fantastic. It's like he trained with me quite a bit a couple of years ago when he was at Geordies. He's amputee. Honestly, it's unbelievable what he can do. What he can do is unbelievable. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Great. Good night. Lovely lad too. Yeah. Really nice lad. Yeah.
It'll be interesting game to watch that one. I think Hattie's down giving the whole multimedia experience to his followers next week. Another close game at the bottom, St John's versus Douglas Royal. Now, St John's, I believe Rick has left this week. Rumours have been moving to France, emigrating to France. It's a shame, isn't it? Because, you know, he's given so much to Manx football and it's a bit of a damp end to that, really.
Yeah. It is. I mean, you know, he's done a fantastic job and he's obviously got so much knowledge of the game from a professional level. It's a shame it didn't work out towards the end at St John's, but he had them playing some great football last year. You know, they were pushing a lot of the so-called bigger teams hard. But we wish him well in France.
And I believe Nick Ingham was in charge last week, but that's not a firm appointment.
They did well, didn't they?
Yeah, they obviously only lost to
Furo. Yeah, they pushed over. He's very close, apparently, as well. Yeah.
Big Furo coming on 89th minute winner. So, they should take some heart from that. Royal, was there any positives for them last week, David?
Terry McGough was a bright spark. I thought, you know, he was by far the most dangerous player on their side in the first half. Gav Gorn came off the bench in the second half, and with those two sort of spearheading it, and they had Paul Whitley up top, they looked a lot more dangerous. So if they can utilise that, they've certainly got the pace, then they've definitely got a chance of getting a few goals.
I reckon this could be a draw. Nick, what do you think?
Yeah, St John's are tough, aren't they? They were hard working, but there's no reason Royals wouldn't you've rammed in that position. The state St John's are like how they are going. You as a lower team, you think, come on, then, this is a chance to take points where we shouldn't be getting points on. Yeah. So, yeah, it's, it'd be interesting, that's for sure. But St John's have got to be thinking they'll come on top.
Andy, Jan, St John's?
St John's should have enough to beat Douglas Royal. I mean, obviously, it was, the size of the result last week was a bit of a shock against Castletown. You thought that'd be quite close, wouldn't you? But, I mean, one place to play for. I mean, like Dave says, it's so tight. The game, tight at the bottom as well. Yeah. Top, so.
Great season. It's a great season.
Well, the weather holds out, we should be a good
season. Last game in the Premier League this weekend sees Moran take on Corinthians. Obviously, Moran buoyed by last week's win, but Corinthians still need to get these points on the board to keep get a railway cup space.
Yeah, and you watched them, didn't you, against Rushen last week?
Yeah, they weren't at their best. Rushen were unlucky there. I think they should have at least had a point out of that one. Corinthians, though, they say it's a sign of a good team, don't they, Andy?
I was quite surprised. At top team, even Tony said on the radio, didn't he? Said, you know, there was no way they should have won that game. Yeah. You know, they really got away with it. I mean, I've got to say, with Corinthians, I met Sean Doyle in Ramsey a couple weeks ago, and we had a good chat. And I said, you know, when that last final down here, first half, they absolutely blew us away. Yeah, you think they're going to be the team. You think you know, they're going to be on and on. To be fair to him, he said we give back goals away, we've missed chances. So he said the combination of both is why we're not necessarily winning the games. But if you're not playing well, they're still in the mix, aren't they? Yeah. Still well in the mix. So, you know, you think they've not played that particularly well, they're going to be right in there, aren't they?
Exactly. And the same around, obviously at home, is a smaller pitch. But I still think Corinthians have enough power to steamroll them there. Division 2, I will start at the big game at the Ballyclone. Obviously, you're welcome Onkin up, Nick. Onkin and team, again, they're in that mix, aren't they? Chipping away.
Definitely, yeah. They're winning the games that they need to, and they're thereabouts with everyone else. None of us really know much about them or anything. So, you know, we've had a bit of a shift around for the weekend. So, it'd be a good game. I think it'd be close, to be honest. But, yeah, it's games that we need to win. So, keep us up there.
Confident, Andy? 3 points?
They've got to be confident, but again, it's like Nick says, you just don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think Conor Dempsey up front,
he's
a good little player. It's, you know, it'll be a tough game. It's just depends, obviously, where we're unfortunately we're missing a couple, aren't we?
Yeah, so it always happens.
Not the best for us, but we'll do what we've got, and you know, we'll give it a good go. But
they beat Ayr last week. Any tactical insight from any of your former teammates?
We've spoken, they sort of said a few things, but.
It's happening because they're always ahead of us, aren't they?
They always make themselves be better than they are. When every team does, so it's. I think you've got to take what you see, don't you?
Another big game sees Malou welcome Paul Rose down to the game you're going to, Dave.
Yeah, it should be a good game.
Clack.
Yeah, Malou are one of the only two teams undefeated. They're doing really well. They're in third, so. You know, if they win this one, they will leapfrog Pulley up to second to close the gap on Youth at the top. So they've definitely got the motivation there. But Pulley, they're just going about their business now. They hit a rough patch, but they now just seem to be getting the results back. I know, difficult against you guys last week, where their heads are going to be after throwing away a 3-goal lead. But they should be chomping at the bit to get a win this weekend.
Yeah.
I think if Stido gets himself back fit, that'll be a massive
huge,
and as you said, Nick, if a team starts stringing some results together, it just turns as everything, doesn't it? While you're still picking points off each other,
you got to watch that team that you're not looking at, and they'll just come flying past you, won't they? So,
but yeah, Andy, do you think again? This looks to me, I've said it already, but this looks like a draw to me. As well.
It does, doesn't it? That would probably suit us as well.
Yeah,
we haven't obviously played Malou. I've not seen anything about Malou, so I've seen Paul last week. They were very good going forward, dangerous. They'd be going forward. They'd like to score goals. So you think obviously Malou, it's down there. They'll have a good crowd down. It should be a good game.
Dave, I think you went to the corresponding fixture last year. It was a bit of a tasty affair.
It certainly was. There was a sending off later on. I think was it Furby got sent off? I think was it, or was it Darren Flanagan? Actually, I think. But it was. There was a few tackles flying in. There was a bit of banter. Plenty of goals. Pulley came out on top. I think this will be a closer match. I don't know how Malou's team's shaping up this week, but if they've got Craig Dolman started life well down there, if they've got Conor Dowell back. Obviously, he spends a lot of time away, but he's a very good player on his day. Mm-hmm. He could be a match winner for them. So
Steve Collister started well since he's moved from Colby. And Carl Hickey as well. I think one of the best defenders in that league.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. So, you know, I tend to agree with you. I think this will end in a draw, but it should be a good game to watch.
So, if what you're saying, if you're...
Nil-nil.
At a loose end. United versus Michael United. A bit of a derby, this, Nick. Would you count as a derby?
Yeah, you always got to have a love of derby, haven't you? So you got to claim it.
I think it might be Michael's bellier this weekend as well. So
had an extra.
Yeah, obviously Michael Cole was away last week in New York. If his Instagram is anything to go by. This is a big game for both teams. A win's a win, isn't it? And I think Ayr should start this as marginal favourites. Would you agree?
Yeah. I think they're a good team. The players they've got. You know, the first division players, and it's just like the sort of ones around them. But like I say, if a couple of the boys are going back there from Peel and stuff like that, so that's going to strengthen them up massively. And you know, they won't be any pushovers to any team, I don't think. You know, I don't think they'll be up there with promotion or anything like that. But yeah, they'll be looking to take 3 points tomorrow, definitely.
Andy, do you think Ayr win?
I'd say possibly just an Ayr win. Again, we played there. I think the first half against Ayr was probably the best we played. You know, we played really well out there. And to be fair, that was probably one of our best performances. And you know, we didn't have much chances or anything, so it was really good. But again, we haven't played Michael. Give Ayr just
some weird results. We've got Michael. They seem to get in a bit of a drumming at some point. Then they'll go and get 1-0 against Pulley or something. That kind of result. So. Sure.
They lost to obviously Governors, Rag and Bone Sam. So I told this our man at the Governors Combi, although he's not getting many games at the moment, he's telling me he's paid essentially £240 for a season ticket. So
that's a great analogy.
So I said, yeah, he said they were good value for their win last week, Governors. They of course take on Colby this week. Colby this week. Colby obviously great good draw against Union Mills. First point of the season. They can only build from that, can they, Dave?
Definitely. You know, it's been a tough season. You know, you just mentioned Carl Hickey. He was one of their best players, and it was a summer of flux for them. So, change in management. They got that point. Yeah, hopefully it's onwards and upwards for them. I think they'll probably fancy their chances of getting a win out of this one. Although Governors will obviously be full of confidence after last week.
And obviously the game at the Bemba Bow as well. We've already talked about the artificial surface of the bowl, but it's a bit different up at Bemba Hague, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Especially with the cage, which doesn't lead to much flowing football. I think Governors probably just edge this, but as I said to Sam himself, they have a very transitional squad. You know, it seems to be a lot of changes. I think there's about 60 on the books up there, isn't it? Including Sam, so you never know who's going to be in that first 11. I think Peter, that was Jim's, wasn't it? But Peter Callow scored with Jim's Combi last week, didn't he? Have I taken that out of Combi corner?
No, it's fine, don't worry.
But yeah, I'm going to go for a Govs win. Lads, do you think the same? Or
I'll go Colby, I think, yeah. I think they seem to have a bit of a change round in heart, so.
Andy?
Yeah, I think I might be Governors. Home advantage, and obviously a good result last week. Give a bit of momentum going into it, so yeah.
Union Mills take on Jim's. Mills, Mr. Inconsistent, aren't they?
We said this last year, they're Jekyll and Hyde, aren't they? You don't know which side's going to turn up. They had that great win against Pulley early in the season, and then they laboured to a draw last week against Colby. So, they should start this as favourites, but I'd say Jim's in good form now. They're steadily going about their business. I'm not just saying that because Tony's dropped some biscuits off.
It does help, though.
It does, definitely. They're doing well. They beat D&D last week, and D&D themselves were in good form, so they'll be boosted by that. But I still think Mills will probably just bet edge this.
And that, obviously, the day's early kickoff at 2 p.m. I don't know why it's been moved. Maybe it's for television, I'm not so sure. But maybe it's just that, you know, the wind might be a bit less than Gale Force 9 at that point. But, yeah. It's a bit of a leveller up there, isn't it? We joke about it.
We've been up there, and it was probably the best afternoon you'll ever get up there. It was flat car. Yeah, you're not going to get any better days up here than that. And we beat them 6-1 we beat them. They gave three awful goals away that day. The score really wasn't an inflection in the game. But
I remember reporting at a Union Mills game. I think it was Paul Henry Gold Cup, so it must have been tail end of the season. Maybe April or May time even, and I still got frostbite.
It's very exposed.
It is very exposed. Douglasson District versus Foxdale, Dave. Now, no disrespect, Dave Matheson, because I know he's probably listening, but this looks like a Dale win all day to me.
Certainly does. D&D will obviously want to bounce back after that win, that loss last week, but yeah, they'll probably struggle against Foxdale. Foxdale have got a very strong team. They're obviously harbouring ambitions of top four and possible promotion, so I think it should be an away win.
Andy, obviously JR's in charge at Dale, former.
Yeah, it was good. He's obviously got some good lads up there. Obviously they beat us early in the season. We had a cracking game with them, so we've still got to go up there. But yeah, he seems to be doing a good job up there. So. Yeah.
And there's a few of the extra Ramsey lads as well, Liam Parker.
Liam Parker's there as well, that's his his future father-in-law, so I think press ganged a bit into that one.
But we know he should have a good engine on him, isn't he? Yeah. Nick, do you think Dale are going to be one of the teams to beat this season?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. They seem to know what how their plan of attack is about, and so, and it seems to be, it works, so they'll definitely be thinking that they'll be up there, definitely, so...
So grim listening for that you there, Dave. I'd say. Comedy Corner, Dave.
Your favourite time of the week.
Did you see we had Chris Clark in America sent us a picture on Instagram. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
He said he's listening to the podcast on his commute to futsal.
Oh, wonderful.
How very American. But he said he's looking forward to Comedy Corner.
Oh, Jesus. No pressure then. Old Boys have closed the gap, but Cobby 1 leader St Mary's, thanks to 10-2 Hammering and Braddon last week. Peel and Corinthians remain deadlocked on 22 points each in second and third after wins over Douglas Athletic and Rushen, respectively. That latter result has enabled Geordies to leapfrog Rushen after the Saints demolished St John's 10-0. Tom Chattel, obviously he's starring for the under-18s, he led the way with 4 goals. Well done to him. Douglas Royal, despite the first team losing, they were the highest scorers of the day. They thrashed Castletown 11-2. And Kevin Ballard managed to grab 4 goals as well.
I believe they were all headers.
Yeah, rolling back the years. The bright spot for Castletown, though, was the return of Nathan Cool.
Yeah.
He's obviously been out for quite a long time. Mm. It's great to see him back. And apparently he grabbed a wonder goal as well. So
good
well
player,
done to him.
Yeah.
He'll be a big plus for Castletown if he comes back into the first team later in the season. And elsewhere, Laxey edged Moran 3-2. Comby 2, Onken remain 5 points clear of Ramsey after a 3-0 win at Ayr United. Well, obviously, Ramsey got the better of Pulley 4-2, thanks largely to a Martin Tull hat-trick.
Yeah. Another one rolling back the ears.
Still got it.
Fox in the box.
Still got it.
2 games, 7 goals.
Yeah. I know Steve Spears is playing for Peel Vets as well, isn't
he? Yeah.
Gunning for hire.
Foxdale and Pulley are locked together in third and fourth. And Michael claimed their first win of the season with a 4-2 win at Governors. And D&D got the better of Jim's 3-1. And Union Mills were the biggest winners of the day with a 5-0 success over Colby.
And you can confirm, Dave, was that the first weekend we think we've had in living memory where every game went ahead on Saturday?
I think so. Yeah, very excited on Monday morning.
We were very excited. We should have had more of a fanfare about that, I think. Maybe a banner outside work. Well done, everyone. Right, talking of the weather, Dave reads the weather.
Well, we're lucky tomorrow. It's going to be bright and sunny spells. Can't even talk. There's going to be a few scattered.
It's easy for you to say.
It's going well.
Scattered showers,
yeah.
I hope that's what you were saying.
I'm sure too. But it is going to be quite windy. Saturday is going to be a few more passing showers, most likely across the south of the island. But otherwise, it should be quite bright.
Oh, there you go. That sounds very promising. Just quickly touch on the under-18 leagues last night. You see, there's one game. Laxey beat Colby 2-1. Luke's Cricket Moreland scored the winner in that. Apparently, it was a cracking goal. That takes them joint top with St George's. People say they don't have any.
Yeah, no, to be fair, they got some great young lads in that team. You know, they've got a great attitude as well. Like Jay Skelch,
Lewis Brideson, we've seen last week.
You know, they got some. They're coming through. They got a good attitude. They're good. They're obviously playing a lot of first team now as well with the way the team is. So that'll be giving them great experience as well. Yeah. So
the under-18 league again, the report on that match is Tom Kirby's report is in the Courier, for those of you eagerly looking at your post boxes. Some sad news for Liam Doyle, Dave. Obviously, they lost on penalties last week in the playoffs, didn't they, USL playoffs?
Yeah, I spoke to Liam briefly earlier this week. They went up against Cincinnati, who were, they were the top seeds. They dominated the league, so they were underdogs going into the game. But they more than held their own. It was 0-0 at full time, and then it went to extra time. Cincinnati got the goal, but then well done to Nashville. They managed to pull it back, force penalties, and Liam took the first one, powered it home. That trusty left peg of his.
Did you see on Facebook he'd been getting tips of Peter Langridge in the week?
Well, he can score a penalty, didn't he?
Unfortunately, Nashville ended up losing 6-5, but. Liam was very positive. He said it was a hell of an experience, scoring a penalty in front of 20,000 people. And he's happy with how the season's gone. And you should also mention that he got the Defensive Player of the Year award for the club recently. So well done to him.
Obviously Liam's done well. You did a great article with him in today's Indy, for those of you who want to read more on that. And we've had, as mentioned, Chris Clark did send us a picture of him listening to the podcast last week in his car. The only other one was from Rory Poole. He, on the long journey over the mountain, he listens to on Spotify. But I appeal again. There's a prize for the best one. You get a courier. That's if you're on a established and well-serviced.
Do we have to pay for the courier out of our back pocket?
No. I've already sorted it with work. You know, they've said that was in the budget.
That's fine.
So yeah, if you like us on Instagram and follow us on Instagram, send us a picture if you listen to the podcast. Right, lads, thanks for coming in. I've thoroughly enjoyed that. It was good. Good luck on Saturday. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yep.
Remember, you can listen to all our back catalogue, which now, I think this is the 70th podcast we've done now, Dave. You think we'd know what we're doing by now, wouldn't you?
No chance.
We're at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football. iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Deezer and Google Podcasts, whatever they are.
You've been practicing that.
Until next week.
Ta-ta for now.